grace of God.
Lead, guide, teach, bring to our remembrance those things which you've spoken unto us, Lord. We thank you for all that are on the call, all the families that are on the call, God. Pray a blessing upon all those, Lord, that they will receive from you, Lord, as we all walk in obedience so that we can experience the extraordinary life we have in Christ. And we love you for that. And it's been settled in heaven. That is your word, Lord, and we thank you for it. Bless your people tonight to hear. Bless us to discern, to understand your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, family. Well, let's jump right into the word. We have, if I'm in the right place, we are in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 17. I see one person. Brandy, thank you. Thumbs up. The rest of you are hiding tonight, but that's okay. God bless you. And just give me a virtual thumbs up or something. I don't know. But 2 Samuel chapter 17, let's go on and jump into it. I'm going to read for a while. I'm going to stop at verse 14, 1 through 14. 1 through 14, and then we will go ahead and pick up. After discussing and pick up after that. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will kill the king only. I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he says. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spoke unto him, saying, Ahithophel spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, you speak. Verse 7, and Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For said Hushai, you know your father and his men, that they are mighty men, that they are upset in their minds, or enraged in their minds, as a bear robbed of her whelps or her cubs in the field. And your father is a man of war and will not lodge with the people. He will not camp with the people. Verse 9, behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place. And it will come to pass when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever hear it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that your father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant, are mighty men. Verse 11, therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto you. For Dan, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for the multitude, and that you go to the battle in your own person. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him, or jump upon him as the dew falleth on the ground, and of him and all of the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Verse 13, moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city. We will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found there. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord has appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. We'll pause right there. And if you would share some of your insights from chapter 17, 1 through 14, or if there was a certain verse that kind of caught your attention and you'd like to elaborate or have a question on it, then let's go ahead and have a quick discussion and just give me some of your thoughts. And then also, keep in mind, what I like to do, I just like to pull out some of the principles of God are just practical, even principles of God are practical, common sense things out of the scripture. So any practical or principles that you picked up on that's consistent with scripture as we were reading. Sister Kathy, Sister Claudette, Sister Brandy, somebody talk to me tonight.
I just had a question.
Yes.
Really, when the I can't say his name.
Ahithophel.
Yes, thank you. Ahithophel was saying all that what he was going to say, and then Absalom had asked him to get counsel from Hushai. Was he doing that just to seek wise counsel at that present moment?
That's a good question. and one of the principles I have is you have to be careful who you seek counsel from. Amen. You just can't. But look at it, Brandy, because at the end of chapter.
I mean, I know what happened at the end of the chapter too, but.
No, I'm saying at the end of chapter 16, Ahithophel told this guy to go get a tent and sleep with all these women in broad daylight, and he did it, right?
Right.
And so now he's telling them how to attack, and at first he liked it. But basically, the bottom line is that Absalom is seeking counsel from everyone except from God, you know? So that's the real problem here, is that he's not connected to God. And remember, family, If you're calling me and saying, Pastor, I want you to give me some direction on this issue, you should have already prayed and asked God, I need you to give me direction. Then when you call me, all I'm going to do is confirm what God has already spoken to your heart. So that's the problem with Absalom. He's asking these men to direct him and give him guidance, and he has no connection to God. And here's the problem. Ahithophel, obviously is disconnected from God at this time, huge disconnect. And Hushai, Absalom doesn't have the discernment because he's not praying and asking God to help me to discern the deception and the distractions, right? So it sounds good what Hushai is telling him, but remember, Hushai is working for David. So that's the major problem. He's just asking. It's like you, Brandy, you go around just asking everybody for advice, and then whichever one sounds the best, you go for it. But where's God at in the picture? And that's the problem. But that's a great question. He's searching because he has no connection to God. And then the advice that he does get is not even the correct advice, because it's a spy or the enemy that's in his camp that's giving him, which sounds like sound advice, but it's really not. And that's there it goes. Therein lies the problem, family. We always have to consult God and beg God for wisdom, beg God for discernment. Holy Spirit, teach me, Lord, what is the deception in this? And then let me ask some godly people. Let me ask definitely godly people, and maybe more than one godly connection or mentor that you have. Great question. Oh, no, thank you for opening up the question. Somebody else talk to me. What do you have in your notes? And I haven't, somebody else talk, otherwise I'll keep going. Somebody else, any other questions or thoughts on one
thing? Pastor Carter?
Sister Kathy, yes.
Oh, okay. I had you on mute. Okay. Oh,
well, there you go. That's why I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't hear you either. in chapter 16, David prayed that the counsel of Ahithophel be foolishness in Absalom's ear.
Yes.
So all that he was saying, and then Hushai came and gave him the counsel, which would be against what Ahithophel was saying, and that was according to the prayer that David prayed in 16.
Yes, and Sister Kathy, we see that Ahithophel from the advice he gave, and the advice that he gave in 15 and I mean 16 and in 17 was foolishness. So it shows that God answers prayers, and we're thankful for that, right?
Amen.
Even in chapter 17 and verse 2, Ahithophel, he was side by side with David. He knew what type of warrior David is. And here he is talking about verse 2, I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed and will make him afraid. Are you serious? And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will kill the king only. It's like he's living in an alternate reality. Dude, that's not going to... So, but you see David's prayer being answered. That is Ahithophel knowing good and well he's not going to come and do that. You know, it's like a kid bragging about, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, knowing good and well when the bully shows up, all you're going to do is run home as fast as you can. So, he's speaking. I have in my notes, here's another principle I have in my note. We have to be honest with ourselves. Don't lie to yourself. Right? Ahithophel is lying to himself, knowing good and well he is not going to go and sneak up, confront David. David's going to be afraid and all the men are going to run. So you got to be honest with ourselves. And in verse 3, it talks about, and then it's going to be peace when you're, and I think it's safe to say that Ahithophel was giving out satanic advice, and instruction. And anytime, family, we participate in anything that's against the will of God, and definitely if it's, satanic in nature, it's not going to end in peace. So it's not going to, anytime we operate out of the will of God, even as God works it out together for good, we're going to have to deal with some consequences in the middle of that are not going to be peaceful. And we know that, a lot of us know that from experience. So, yeah, I don't know what reality that Ahithophel is in, but he's going to go and do all this, and it's going to have a happy ending. So, we just see the word coming true. Thank you, Sister Kathy. Anyone else? Anyone else? Take a look at verse 7. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time. So just know that, remember, we serve a God of order, detail, specifics, and timing. And Brandy, to speak to your point, you know, it says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. This is not that, because... Absalom has no connection to God, and he's not seeking out godly counsel. But make a note that in the multitude of counselors, the scriptures are very clear that in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So we should at least get 2-3 opinions. So think about it. Maybe you're thinking about leaving your job. Maybe you're thinking about starting your own business. Maybe you're thinking about getting married. You should talk to at least 3 or 4 godly people.
Amen. Amen.
And godly people who've changed jobs or you know, changed their jobs. Godly people who've started their own business. Godly people who are married, and so they can give you that counsel that there would be safety in there. we had a friend of ours, and his daughter was getting married. And he had asked, he told them, look, as the dad, he said, look, I need you to go talk to these couples. You don't even know them. I know them. You've seen them because they've been by the house since you were a little kid. And he gave about, he gave his daughter and her fiance about five couples that he wanted them to go sit and talk to as a part of their, in addition to their marriage counseling, their premarital counseling. Go talk to these five couples and just get some input from them. He said, these are couples that I see as godly couples. And I think they'll be able to speak into your life. See, that's the safety net. And you know what, when I don't have time to consult a safety net like that, then that, there's a problem with whatever I'm trying to do. No, I'm gonna just quit my job because I'm tired of it. You know what? No, we just gonna go on and get married. We love each other. What's the rush? No, I'm gonna just start my business, man. God told me to start a business. I'm fine with that. Go talk to five Christian business owners and get some advice so you can, so it can be successful and you'll know that it's truly God speaking. So in a multitude of counselors, there's safety, but that's when you're connected to God. Amen. So make sure you're connected to God and you seek God and then you go seek that godly counsel. This is not that with what Absalom is doing because there is no connection to God. Anyone else? And then remember, make a note, it's timing. I don't know if Hushay was saying timing just because, but we know that God is a God of timing. And sometimes it's, it could be the right thing, but the wrong time. It could be a good thing. It could be a God thing, but it's not the right time. And so when you're praying, just ask God, God, is it time for this? Is this the right time? So important.
And then in verse 8, he was telling him, say, you know how your father is. Mm-hmm. He's just not going to sit. He's a mighty man. He's a mighty warrior. He's just not going to sit down and let you just attack him.
Absolutely.
Do you not know who your father is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the alternate reality, that the alternate universe that Ahithophel was living in, saying that he's just going to walk up. And Hushay was like, are you really think it's going to go down like that? You know what type of man your father is. And David was a mighty warrior, and that is for sure. And that's a great point, Sister Kathy. And just know, family, that's, we have to know certain things. We got to know who our enemy is. We have to know who our allies are, right? And when we're talking about making a huge strategic move, you got to know how is the enemy going to try and feed into this? Those same three examples I just talked about, you know, quitting your job, starting a business, or getting married. But what is the enemy going to think about this? Well, the enemy's going to hate your marriage because it's going to reflect Christ. So you got to know that he's just not going to sit still and let you live happily ever after. So you and your spouse both have to know that. You're going to quit your job. You know the enemy's going to do everything he can, especially if it's a God-ordained transition to another job. He's going to do everything he can to try and get you to stay or to try and get you to take something, you know, that has nothing to do with God's plan or purpose, but either take it for the money or take it for some other reason. And starting your business, you got to know that there's going to be obstacles. So we got to be transparent. We got to be real with ourselves, knowing what I'm getting into. And that's what Hushay, thank you, Sister Kathy. That's what Hushay was telling. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be that easy. Let me tell you what we're going to do. But then that's the problem, because Hushay was not even on his team and he wasn't connected to God. He's not praying for discernment and he didn't even know. Anyone else before we move on? And family, as we just compare to even some of the things that's going on in today's society, write this down for those of you to take notes. Lord, help me to discern. It's already in my notes. Lord, help me to discern the deception and the distractions. And then get your counsel from godly people, not people that are going off on anger and emotions. And that's not the best counsel at all. You can't, family, we can't be led by our anger, by our emotions, by our lust, by our feelings. It's too much going on in the world today. It's so much deception out there today. And if I'm making any decision based on my emotions, it's probably not godly. And I'm not, and I'm just saying, family, we have to be careful who we listen to, who we're marching with. Why are we marching? What are we marching for? And where is God at in all this? And I'm talking to mature believers. I'm not just talking to those on the fringes who just, you know, hey, we got to make change. Well, you better discern what God is doing. Because in the Word, God says this whole thing is going to fall apart and it's just the beginning of sorrows. So if you going out and you're fighting against the will of God, then you out of position. So we all have to discern what's going on and what we're doing and why we're doing it. Here's a guy right here, Absalom. He's getting counsel from people that don't even have his best interest in mind. And he's getting ready to go follow that. All I can say is that can't be us today. Even for a good cause, is it a godly cause? Discern the deception. I'm not saying we shouldn't go out. I'm saying we got to know why and we got to discern the deception. And if I'm going out, I know who I'm walking next to and who I'm walking with. And I know what they believe and what they stand for. Because I'm not going to be walking with a Ahithophel and a Hushai. Because they don't have my best interest in heart at all. One, all his wisdom is foolishness. And the other one is working for the enemy. And I'm getting advice from them. Are you serious? So anyone else before before we move on?
Well, I think it's in verse 12. Mm-hmm. So we shall come upon them. He was very prideful, Absalom. He had a lot of pride. No, that's not verse 12. Let's see. What shall we read? Maybe that's not the verse, but in reading this, he had a lot of pride because he thought that he was the one that can do all this to defeat his father.
Yeah.
He was full of pride.
And if pride and good looks guaranteed you victory, he would have got it. Sister Kathy, but what does the word say? Pride comes before destruction and a hearty spirit
before the fall.
And here it is right here. But you're right. It was, and I don't know. I just, the word talks about humility. It said we should be clothed, robed in humility. Why? Because we know that everything we have, if you don't understand that everything that we have and do, what do you say? We live and we move and we have our being because of Christ. Family, we can't even get out of the bed in the morning if God doesn't give us the strength to, right? I mean, so just think of, so what could I be prideful about? What could I be arrogant about? If God said, no, you're not going to get up, you know, until I say so, right? We can't do anything about that. We can't do anything about that, but just lay there. So, but that's the deception of the enemy to make us think that we are actually in control of something. And we're not even our own health. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And we all want doctor's visit away from saying, man, I gosh, are you serious? And you know, I've known people, you know, they were healthy and everything, athletes and everything. Heart attack, died on the court. Healthiest guy on the team. First one at practice, last to leave, didn't smoke, didn't drink. But we're all one doctor's. So what can I be prideful about? If we're one doctor's visit away from going, man, this could be it. So you're right, Sister Kathy, and the sooner we realize how delicate this life is, the more grateful and thankful we are every day that we wake up. And the more loving and caring and kind we are, because we know this thing changes. Somebody say amen, especially the ones that are 50 plus. We know this thing. We get phone calls all the time trying to figure out, you got to be kidding. This thing changes overnight. Family, don't waste your time being upset.
Amen.
Upset and bitter and arrogant and selfish. Let's practice all the fruit of the Spirit daily. That's what God allows us to do, to practice the fruit of the Spirit every day. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So anyone else before we finish this up? All right. Well, let's pick it up at verse 14. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed, for the Lord had purpose to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. And family, we didn't pick this up in verse 14, but look at him using the Lord's name. Be careful of people who say, man, God's going to give us victory. Be careful.
Right.
Because you would think that Absalom has a relationship with the Lord. He's talking about the Lord, but he doesn't. So people will use God's name. Just because they're using God's name does not mean they're on God's team.
Amen.
Or that they even have a relationship with God. So be careful with that. He's trying to put the Lord's name out there. I got a question. The Lord, which Lord is he talking about? And this is the same guy who last chapter lined up 10 women on the roof in broad daylight and slept with them in front of the whole town.
Can't get
town.
Past that one.
Say it again, Sister Kathy.
I just say you can't get past that one.
No, yeah, I can't get past that. Now he's talking about the Lord. In the next chapter, right. He's talking about the Lord.
Right.
Come on, family. I mean, just because people say the Lord don't mean that God's in it. So we got it. That's part of us discerning the deception. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Verse 15. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up, and all the people that are with him. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by Enrogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a maidservant went and told them, and they went and told King David. All right, let me pause right there. Because these names, man, I've gone over these names, but I'm going to be struggling, y'all. So I just want to get
on. Great.
Okay, thank you, Brother Cliff.
You're
all
good.
Right. Verse 18. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom, but they went both of them away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court, where they went down. And the woman spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread corn thereon, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman to the house, they said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? The woman said unto them, they're gone over the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. And it came to pass after they were departed that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you.
Mm-hmm.
Then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan by the morning light. There lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he got on his donkey and arose, went home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, mm-hmm. and hanged himself and died and was buried in the tomb of his father. Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over Jordan, and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son, whose name was Ithran, Israelite, that went into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister to Zeruah, Joab's mother. So I made a note that Joab and Abigail were cousins. Verse 26. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobi, the son of Nahash, of Rabash, of the children of Amnon, and Mashir, the son of Amiel, of Lodabar, and Barzillah, the Gilead of Rogelium. They brought beds, basins or bowls, and earthen vessels, and wheat, and barley, and flour, and parched corn, and beans, and lentils, and parched pulse, and honey, and butter, and sheep, and cheese of kine, for David and the people that were with him to eat, for they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Amen.
Amen.
That's a lot going on, but I love it. I love the principles of God. I love to see the hand of God working, the word of God. Somebody talk to me. That is a lot going on. All right, so make a note that we see God's grace, God's providence, God's provision, and God's sovereignty, right? In the midst of all that, we see the sovereignty of God and the grace of God. We see the provision of God and we see the providence of God, all working within that. And make a note, family, that sometimes our lives can even look like an organized mess or just a mess, or to have no rhyme or reason to certain events that happen. But we see that God's grace, sovereignty, providence, and provision is always there for his people and working on our behalf, even when it doesn't look like it. Stay connected to God. Stay focused to God. Continue to trust and love God. God's working in the midst of all this that's going on. Somebody talk to me. Help me out. Help me out. Somebody talk to me. Any thoughts? Yes.
I have a question, Pastor. In verse 17, where the lady, the female, was that the wife of Bahurim that put her, put the two men in the in the well?
I think so. I think it was the same lady. I believe it was the same lady that did it. The first one, they said she was a maidservant. So maybe it's not then. The first, it called her in the King James Version, it called her a maidservant. And then when you get down, and the woman took and spread a covering, that might be the, because it didn't say it was his wife, it just said the woman. So I'm thinking.
The woman, right.
Yeah, I'm thinking I was still that maidservant in that context.
So they were trying to kill the two men.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Two men were working for David. And so look how God worked, right? So it's almost like meanwhile back at the ranch, right? Because the maidservant.
The women.
Yeah. So the maidservant, she sees them, the two guys, right? Mm-hmm. And they went and told the king. But then meanwhile back at the ranch, also the lad or the young man saw them and he went and told Absalom. And so when he told Absalom, he sent his guys to go, kill the two spies. But then it's a well at the house. The lady, they get into the well. Lady saw him go in there. And this is where we talk about the sovereignty of God. because they asked her and she says, I haven't seen him. Although she put the lid over the well and covered it with cornmeal so it wouldn't even look like it's a lid covered
in use.
Yeah, in use. Right. Correct. So that took some effort on her part to cover that well up. And then when they come, she said, hey, they went over the brook. We talked about it last week. Sister Claudette reminded me of Rahab when she brought the spies in. It's just the sovereignty of God, and God uses people on his behalf for his will to be done. And so those wells are just dug out in the ground. When we were in Egypt, yeah, we're driving through Egypt, and we went through Jacob's wells. His wells were Jacob's wells were, and so they're just the wells in the middle of the ground, dug deep. And this was a well like that. And they went down there and hid. She covered it up, Brother Cliff, and she put the lid and put the corn. What say the cornmeal?
And the corn to make sure it.
Yeah, that wasn't even known.
Not in use.
Not in use. Yeah. And so these guys, they said, and it came to pass, verse 21, after they were departed, and then when Absalom's servants came to the woman, to the house, they said, where's Ahimaaz and Jonathan? The woman said, they be gone over the brook. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem, which means she covered it up. She took effort and covered it up really well. And they couldn't be found, because if she just left that lid there, they would have said, whoa, this looks like they could be hiding in here.
So looking down in there.
She did an awesome job, Cliff, of covering it up.
Yes. I was saying.
So, yeah.
Intuition.
Yeah, but yeah. Intuition. Yeah. Yeah. And so
verse 19, it does say his wife took it covered and spread it.
So it was his wife. Okay.
So it was his wife. Yeah.
Okay, it was his wife. Okay, good deal. Yeah.
That was my question.
Yeah. Great question. Great clarity. And working for God. God have people working on your behalf that you have no idea that they're working on your behalf. Come on, Sister Kathy. That's why we don't have to manipulate and all this other kind of stuff. God has people working on our behalf. If we just trust him and stay faithful to God, and God, you work it out. I'm at the end of my rope, but Lord, I know you're going to work it out before I do something stupid. God have people working out on your behalf, and you have no idea why. Because they just went down there. She covered it up. They didn't tell her to put cornmeal over the top, and she did that. Because why? Because she's working under the sovereignty of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then when they get out, they went and told King David what was going on. Why? Because God needed King David to know what was going on. And that's why King David, remember, he had the forethought. I don't know if it was in chapter 14 or 15 where he told Hushai, look, no, I don't need you to be with me. I need you to go back. And then when you find out what Absalom is up to, then you come and let me know. He's working with right there.
And you know what also passed?
Yes, Sister Kathy.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just noticed that also that the servant late girl saw them and the lad saw him at the same time or around the same time.
Right.
But she was quick. She was thinking on her feet.
Yeah.
She was moving like Abigail when David was coming to kill Nabal.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. She was quick.
She had to move quick. Because that dude, he was going to, for lack of a better word, he was going to snitch him out. And
amen.
And she said, I got to move quick. But then think about another word that comes to mind is loyalty. The loyalty. Of Shay. He's putting his life on the line for David. Telling Absalom some information that he's going to go back and tell, that Hushai knows he's going to go back and tell David once he gets the opportunity. So Hushai, to some extent, he was loyal to David. To a large extent, he was loyal to David. And he did exactly what David asked him to do. And so it says a lot for loyalty and, you know, and being loyalty to your God, your godly friends, you know, your brothers and sisters in Christ. you know, that are truly living this thing. It does help us to be loyal to the body of Christ and to those working for God.
And then in verse 23, Ahithophel knew that his life was in jeopardy. It was just a matter of time. So he did away with his life. He did away with his life before he had to go before David.
But yep. David could get him, right?
Mm. Right.
Or send somebody for him.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or even Absalom, because Absalom said, you gave me some messed up advice. So it even could have been Absalom that would have killed him. So he just went ahead and took himself out. And I'm going to say this too. Let me just go back to my loyalty. And I'm coming right back to that point, Kathy, because you made an excellent point. I have it in my notes. But I have in my notes with Hushea and David that we have to trust God and people. You know, because David had to trust Hushea. So, you know, I don't trust nobody but God. No, that's not really scriptural. We have to trust God and people. Now, we ask for discernment. Please, God, give me discernment. But, yeah, we have to trust God and people and just and family. Let's do all we can to, not to betray any trust or break any trust. And if you've ever been in a relationship where the trust was broken, you know how that feels. So we do know how God's heart is broken when we betray his trust by going after these false idols and all that. So I'm just saying we do have to trust God and people. Just make a note of that and just pray for discernment. And God, who shall I trust in? And who's not worthy of my trust? Amen.
Amen.
Whether they're talking to the Lord or not, which we saw with Absalom, he's not worthy of nobody's trust, talking with the Lord coming out of his mouth. But Sister Kathy, thank you for bringing that point up, because I have it in my notes, verse 23. Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed. So he saw that, man, it's sort of like evil being judged against you. And Sister Kathy, I mean, it ties right in. Thank you. With my message I've been preaching on Sunday mornings. It's the same concept with the guard when he thought Paul and Silas had escaped, right?
He was going to kill himself.
He's getting ready to kill himself. Yeah. Why? Because they know that if your prisoners escape under your watch, they're killing you.
He's
ready to kill himself. Paul screams out, do yourself no harm. We are all here. Jesus Christ makes all the difference. Ahithophel following the wrong God, the wrong advice, the wrong person. There's no one there to tell him that we serve a loving, redeeming God. And you don't have to do yourself any harm, man. God will love you. God will forgive you. God will make you a new creation. God will allow you to be born again, and your life can start over fresh in Christ. Mm-hmm. Deal with some consequences, but you will be connected to the true and living God. Mm-hmm. He had no one there to tell him that. Oh, family, make sure and pray that we get a chance to tell somebody that who's given up on life and think that it's over. Amen. And I want to take you to a couple of scriptures too. The first one is Acts 16:27. That's the one we just spoke of. But when you see, I mean, it's the same concept. Acts 16:27. And those of you that hang out with us on Sunday mornings, I'm trying to finish this up, but I tell you, I don't know when I'm going to finish this up. It is so many. Man, in verse 32, and it said they spoke the word of the Lord unto him. God is taking me into so many directions with the word of God. I can't wait to Sunday. Okay. That is a plug for Sunday. I can't wait to Sunday. But God makes all the difference. But look at verse 27 and Acts 16:27. If you there, say amen.
Amen.
And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing that the prison door is open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. All right. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And so then we know how Paul, his whole family gets saved. Why? Because somebody godly was there to let him know that it wasn't the end of the world. I hope somebody's hearing me today. They need to hear from some godly people, not opinions, not the news, not suggestions, are recommendations, but someone godly who's going to give him the word of God and the light of God. Because it said he called for a light and they gave him the light of Christ. So we give him the light of Christ and we give him the word. Amen. And let him know it's not over. Those of you who are with us tonight, somebody needs to hear that. It is a bunch of stuff going on. Family, friends, job, church, everything. But the word of God is saying tonight, it is not over. Don't you dare think about that. Resist and rebuke that in the name of Jesus. God has so much more for you. It is not over. Do yourself no harm. We serve a God that loves you, that cares for you, that embraces you. And if you were to ask what was the last sin you committed, he would tell you he doesn't remember because it's been washed away in the blood. Do yourself no harm. But then you look at the scriptural context. Let's turn back to Acts. Stay in Acts and go to Acts 12 and 19. And if I share this on a Sunday morning, just act like you ain't. It's my first time sharing it. Okay. But 12 and 19. And this is, oh my gosh. This is when Peter, you got to love God's word. So in 12, Peter's miraculously released from prison.
Right.
From the inner prison, it seems like, because he went through different wards of the prison.
Gates.
Yeah, different gates, Brother Cliff. And so then we pick it up in verse 19, and Herod had sought him. He goes looking for Peter. He didn't.
Right.
And Herod had sought him, found him not. He examined the keepers, the jailers, and commanded, or he interrogated them. They're talking about, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. He interrogated them and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and there he abode. Dude, you're just not going to let some prisoner escape, and you don't know where they at. I don't know, because what does it look like? It looked like that you set them free. Same thing when they put those guards there to guard the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
All right.
And those prisoners, they said, "Look, we're going to come and say the disciples stole the body. This is the story you're going to tell, and then we're going to back you up so that you won't be killed. So let's tell that story."
They fell asleep.
They fell asleep. Right. Hey, and look, Brother Cliff, that makes no sense, because when I'm asleep and I wake up and somebody broke and stole my TV, I can't say it was Brother Earl Patterson. I can't say it was Brother John. Sister Catherine, because I was asleep. How do I know? How you know it was the disciples if you were stated? So that whole theory is just filled with contradictions. If you were asleep, how did you see them? Right? Mm-hmm. And if you saw them, well, we woke up and saw, well, why did you let them do it then?
That's right.
You guys are guards. These little scary disciples, cowards, cussing little girls. Talking about, we don't know, I'm hiding. And now they're going to get bold enough to come steal the body while you sleep. You wake up and see them, and y'all let them get away, and they get away with the body. So we just know how. But that goes to show you that those guards knew if that body was gone, they were dead. So they're not going to let.
Thank God for the women.
Amen. Exactly. And they're not going to let anybody steal it, because my life depends on it. Just like this guy right here that we just read in Peter. He's not going to let Peter escape. These dudes got killed. They're not going to let Paul and Silas escape, because you are going to die if they do. So just.
I got a question, Pastor.
Go ahead, Brother John.
Why are they so quick to commit suicide if they're going to get killed anyway?
Hey, because.
It's all hand.
Yeah, that's what the commentaries pretty much said, that, you know, man, they just want to, they, you know, want to go ahead and do it themselves and save some type of honor. You know,
he didn't see him. He saw that the gate was open. That was enough for him.
That was enough for him.
Yeah.
That's all. He already knew what was going to happen.
Got a gate open.
I'm done. I guess the word had gotten out when Peter was at escape in verse 12. Look, man, you don't let no prisoner escape. You heard what happened to Raheem and Kareem. When Peter escaped, man, you bet not let that prisoner escape. So he saw them, Brother Cliff. He's like, man, I'm done. But yeah, Brother John, I guess it's, you know, in certain cultures, it's the honorable thing to, at least you save some type of face and save some type of honor by just going ahead and saving us the trouble of doing it. you do it.
There had to be some part of their oath, Pastor Carter, when they were appointed or whatever, with a sword behind a locked gate.
Right.
That was part of, you know, and that was, you know, in prison, you know, normally speaking, when they got a guard that walks around in prison every now and then to what, take a bed check or whatever.
Yeah.
But bottom line is when they were in jail, locked behind jail, and like some of them, some of the brothers that was locked in jail during those days were locked up hand and feet and then behind the locked gate with a guard.
Exactly. So, and look, ain't no way you getting out of that except but the grace of God.
Yes, sir. You know?
So, so yeah, Brother John, to answer your question, the commentaries talked about it was some type of honor for him, some type of self-honor, which we know God is so much bigger than self. Remember, when we're self-conscious, that's why we would do something. But if we're God-conscious, we run to God and not to self.
Amen.
So, yes, Sister Kathy, someone else?
Yeah. When the verse 4, verse 23, when he says he put his house in order, what does that mean? Did he like...
He bought life insurance.
No, I mean, Brother John.
Give the wife some... What give the wife some instructions on what to do, you know, how to carry things out. If he was gone, she had to know something to do.
Yeah, that's what... me. Yeah, no, that's what the commentary said. He gave charge, or he went and just said, hey, look, this is over for me, but this is what I need you to do. And and then even for him being buried in the tomb, as John would say, the insurance policy for him to be buried in the tomb of, with his fathers, he made that known. He made all that clear. And you know, and that's a great point, brother. Also, thanks for bringing it up. And so while we're yet alive, we should have our house in order with God.
Amen. Amen.
So while we're yet alive, not on our way out, get our house in order, but while we yet live, we should have our house in order with God. And that just means living for God, being obedient, living a life of obedience and a life that's well-pleasing to God. I did think that was interesting. He had enough sense to get his house in order, but he didn't get his spirit. He didn't get his heart. He didn't get his spirit in order with God. And I have a note too with that. Thank you for bringing that verse up.
That's what I was.
Two notes I wrote. Okay, working for Satan never ends well. Okay, working for Satan never ends. I don't care what he's telling you, it never ends well. And then verse 23. And here's a question I have, and help me out with this, ladies and gentlemen. He spent all that time with David, and didn't he know that God was with David? He was at one point David's right hand man, and so here's what I have. He spent all that time with David, and didn't he know that God was with David? But then here's the other note: only God can change someone's heart, but the heart must be willing to surrender to God. He spent all that time with David, but his heart never surrendered to God. When he saw God moving in David's life, but Ahithophel, for some reason, wait, I got this written too. Kathy, it doesn't say read this, but it's written, so I'm going to read it, Sister Kathy.
Okay, read it.
It says, you can be in church all your life and never surrender your heart to Christ.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Ahithophel was basically in church all his life.
Uh-huh.
And seeing God work and never. So we can't be impressed if somebody say, well, you know, I was brought up in the church. I've been in church. So what? So had Ahithophel. And he walked with a man who was walking with God. And he never gave his heart and life to God or to Christ. So we can't be impressed with that either.
Pastor Carter, another important point to me was, with all these names that we, all of us are reading or seeing them anyway, they were from different families. Some of them related, some of them cousins, some of them from all the different surrounding little, you know, like Pasadena and Altadena Long Beach, all these little towns with all these different people, but they were, their names were called in order that they could be recognized from the little towns that they were from or whatever.
Come on now.
When you got that much going on, loyalty, like you say, loyalty. you know, you got all these different people from all these different towns or whatever the case may be. If you lived in David's kingdom, he would basically expect you to be loyal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point.
Because he took care of them.
Yes.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
He took care of them. He took care of all his people.
And very well so. You're right. He was, mm-hmm. when David was on the top of his game, and which was most of his life, I would say, he showed the kindness of God to the people. Mm-hmm. He was a good king, and he died a good life.
I was going to say,
he died a good life. I mean, died very, and honor and riches, the word says.
Riches and worth, reputation.
But look at this. I got to give credit to the commentary. And it talks about Ahithophel, right? And it talks about how he was filled with pride too, mm-hmm. Sister Kathy, because his advice wasn't followed, so he was crushed.
Right? Yes, sir.
I'm taking my toys and go home.
Yeah, I'm taking my toys and going home and killing myself. It says
all the way home.
It says pride will break a heart to death. But humility will allows you to your sleep not to even be broken. Let me say mm-hmm. that again.
Humility.
Same situation, right? One man's pride and heart is broken to death. Those that are humble in Christ, the situation don't even break their sleep. They able to sleep at night and not even worry about it. Why? Because they're connected to Christ. Pride will keep you up all night.
Yes, it will.
And break your heart in half and have you thinking all kind of crazy stuff. We're being humbled under the mighty hand of God and just trusting God. I'm not even going to break my sleep. I ain't worried about it. Hey, family, I sleep well at night. Amen.
And after he killed himself, everyone else was probably like, why did he kill himself?
Right.
They're not even thinking about him, you know, or his idea.
Mm-mm. Yeah, but that's right. That's the pride of he's so caught up in the pride, broke his heart to death. Humility allows you to sleep without even your sleep being broken. Very interesting. And some of the commentaries even said, Brother John, that he might have been publicly executed. Ahithophel might have been publicly executed. So he wanted to, I guess, save his family.
Crucify him or something.
Yeah. The shame of seeing him publicly executed. So he went ahead and did it himself and told them, hey, bury me. And that's what part of the getting your house in order that it's supposed to.
But it wasn't mandatory for the king to take your counsel.
No, John, but when you fool of yourself, you crushed. you can't see nothing else. But man, my life is, the king doesn't listen to me anymore. Yeah, he shouldn't have listened to you in chapter 16. That's when he shouldn't have listened. But anyway, I'm not even, Sister Kathy, I'm not going to go back there. All right? Because,
will you repeat what you said about humility?
Humility will allow you to sleep without your sleep being broken.
Okay.
Pride will break your heart to death. And humility will allow you to sleep without your sleep being broken.
That's a good word.
Amen. You trust in God all the way. And then I guess my other huge takeaway is that you can be in church all your life and never surrender your heart to Christ. Mm-hmm. You can be around the word. You can be around godly people. And it don't even matter because your heart and mind's in a different space. And so we just can't think that someone is connected to God because they have a title or because they've been in church.
Amen.
So I'm saying, family, as these last days are upon us, discern the deception before we just get out there marching and alongside with anyone, because we really don't know what's going on and what's in their heart and what's their hidden agenda and what's their ulterior motive. And the agenda now has to be getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world before this whole thing falls apart. God's trying to save the remnant or those that are out there. And the church can't have a different message other than the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves our soul. We can't change our message now. We got to be the salt of the earth. You got to make things salty. Got to be the light of the world. You got to expose the darkness. But anyway, it's close to 7:30, if not over, and I'm not going to start preaching. I'm going to save that to Sunday, okay? All right. But look at verse 28, and all the people, as Brother Cliff was saying, from Pasadena and Altadena and Woodland Hills and Long Beach and all over, look what they brought. They brought beds and basements. Man, this is in the wilderness. Just make a note that God provides in the wilderness.
Amen.
Not in the best of circumstances, but God provides in the wilderness. Just out of nowhere.
They can't stay. They can't stay a minute.
Man, how do these people just show up with beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese.
Seasoning. Come on now.
And herds, the kind for herds. Herds.
Gonna feed them. Gonna eat.
For David and the people.
And the people.
That were with him to eat, for they said the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Oh,
in the wilderness.
Oh, Lord, provide for us in the wilderness. God, don't let us worry about all this stuff that's going on. Send the people to provide for your people, even when we're in the wilderness. I would say right now, we are in somewhat of a wilderness situation with COVID and with the unrest, with all this stuff going on. And we don't know what, it changes every day, but we know that God's going to provide for us.
And amen. Amen.
Now he's going to provide. He is providing.
He is providing.
Every day.
He is providing.
And sending people to provide for us.
Amen. And
for his people. So don't
all we got to do is give thanks, give him thanks and praise.
Every day.
Amen.
It says in Psalms 140, is it 146? I got to turn there. I got to turn. Y'all excuse me. And then we're going to shut it down. Y'all excuse me for, I got to share my insights with y'all. Psalms 147 and 1. Man, I've been getting lost in Psalms 145, 146, 147. I mean, we got time, right? We got time, man. Lord, thank you. But look at, so praise, make a note. Praise is, it means to celebrate. It means to boast. It means to shine. It means to glorify. Let me say it again. And look how it's interchangeable. Praise means to celebrate, boast, glorify, and shine. Bless, on the other hand, means to thank. It also means to praise, which are all those things we just said, congratulate, and salute. So bless means to thank, praise, congratulate, and salute.
All right.
So here's Psalms. Y'all gonna get me distracted. I'm trying not to get distracted now. I got to keep going. But Psalms 147:1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises. It is good to boast and to shine and to celebrate and to glorify God's name, right? It's a good thing to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. I have my playlist on YouTube of my praise songs. So in the morning when I'm worshiping, I got my music going. And you know what? It's beautiful. Some people don't know why they praise, but it's beautiful. And then in Psalms, I believe it's 22, it says how God inhabits the praises of his people. God is right there as we're praising. Some people don't know why they praise. Some people don't know what it means to bless God or to thank God or to celebrate, congratulate God. Why? Because God is the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. So I'm congratulating God. He's the king. You're the king of kings. I give it up. You're the Lord of lords. Congratulations. Because I'm not. You are, amen, though, but I'm serving you. Amen. Amen. I congratulate God every day.
I am.
The great I am. I congratulate God because he is the great I am. He is El Shaddai. Congratulations, God. I'm on your team. I'm gonna congratulate you. I want you to, Coach. I'm on the bench. I want you to know you can put me in the game anytime.
Put me in, I'm ready to play.
I'm congratulating you because you the coach.
Yes, sir.
You the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. Amen. So anyway,
amen.
Family, be encouraged tonight. Be encouraged in the Word of God. Be encouraged in the God that we serve. When you get a chance, just read the first three verses of Psalms 145. And you can read all 10 verses in Psalms 146.
Okay.
Psalms 145 and 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is beyond understanding.
Uh-huh.
So we can't expect his greatness. God is so great, it's beyond understanding. People be trying to figure God. Well, I need to know why God. It's beyond understanding.
That's a card that he said, unsearchable, so you can't Google.
You can't ask, but
it won't be real.
You can't ask Alexa. You can't ask Siri. You can't ask, because his greatness is unsearchable. You can't ask Google. I love that, Brother Cliff.
Yes,
I'm going to have to use that on a Sunday morning, Brother Cliff. I will give you, what's my friend Pastor Sanders said, I'll give you credit the first time, Brother Cliff.
Okay, well, no, I'll give it to where it is, 145 and 3. they'll say, who is Brother Cliff? But they'll read that for themselves.
There you go. You can't Google
yes,
it,
sir.
Man. It's unsearchable. I love that.
Yes, sir.
That's a good word tonight. So somebody make a note. You can't Google God. It's unsearchable. Praise him and thank him and lift him up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So so we're a little behind schedule. So our takeaways is you can't Google God, praise him, lift him up, serving, thank him every day. I'm telling you, family, now that we have the time, unless you know we have some essential workers on here and you're still at work, but carve that time out and just, man, just it's beyond understanding. And Psalms 145 and 1, I will extol, I will praise thee, my God, O King, I will bless your name forever. Every day, verse 2,
yes,
every day I will bless thee and will praise your name forever and ever. And name means the character of God, the reputation of God. So I'm going to celebrate your reputation and your character every day. I'm going to salute you. I'm going to thank you. Your reputation and your character, just who you are, Lord, every day. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to go ahead and dismiss.
All right.
So, Lord, we thank you. We love you, God. What can we say? We will bless you. Just read the Psalms. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will celebrate, congratulate, and salute the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, Lord. We know that your ways are unsearchable. It's beyond understanding. We can't Google you. We can't ask Siri or Alexa because they don't know. God, because it's beyond our finite minds. But we pause right now. We thank you for your word tonight, our takeaways as we've gotten into your word, Lord. How you provide in the wilderness, Lord. How let us not fool ourselves by being in a church and being around godly people, but never making that connection to Jesus Christ ourselves. So, Lord, we just thank you. We bless you. Let us seek counsel from godly people before we do anything. We love you on today. We bless you on today. We thank you on tonight, Lord. Oh, we're so grateful and so thankful to have a relationship with the true and living God, the ancient of days, the great I am, the almighty, the El Shaddai, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord God that is there, always there. So we love you, we bless you, and we thank you for this study tonight, Lord. Give us sweet sleep. Cover our homes, our kids, our parents, our grandkids, our siblings, God. We're praying for salvation, rededication in the midst of all this wilderness, God. We're praying for those to be saved and returned to Christ. Help us to discern the deception and the distractions, Lord, so we're not fooled by the enemy and out of position and somewhere where you would never want us to be at. So we thank you. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment. Give us understanding. Give us your knowledge, Lord. Give us insight so we can always be walking and desiring to be in the will of God. Bless your people tonight. Thank you for all those that were on the Zoom call, the Zoom meeting. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.